Hilariously Melbourne. Get a hilarious adventure into work every morning with Beep Beep Beb and Nick. And get an epic adventure into art at the Loom Melbourne, Australia's first digital art gallery. Visit now to see the work of Vincent van Gogh like never before. 101,
this is the Fox. Now, you know, Fee and Fev, you both give me grief occasionally. I judge parenting sometimes, right? But nobody's a perfect parent, you know. And I got pulled up a couple of days ago. I was taking the boys to High Point. Little Charlie, little Max. Wasn't great weather, and I got home after work. They were still in PJs. They're wearing like Bonds onesies, right?
Yeah, pajamas.
Love it. I said, boys, we're going to High Point. And Luch said, all right, I'll get them clothes. And I said, no need, gorgeous. They're in them. They're in onesies already. These have zips. They're enclosed children. We're good to go. Chuck shoes on over the, so you know, the little socks at the bottom?
Yes.
I just put those over the feet and then whack shoes on that.
It's real lazy, real lazy style.
Well, look, Max, you know, I don't want to judge either. I'm not a judgy parent.
No, but go for it.
No, but Max, I get.
Yeah.
Charlie's nearly four. Like, yeah. They're pajamas now. Like, the onesies are pajama once you.
No,
three.
I think it's still an item of clothing. Chuck a jumper over the top. Accessorize.
It's pajamas.
Wear a hat.
See, I could, back to the onesie, through lockdown, admittedly, like Daisy was an actual baby. Yeah. But I had all these great clothes I bought because I wanted to put her in, you know, great duds. And all
Why?
Through.
Why because... are people dressing up children? They're grubs. They poo their pants. Put them in a thing you can zip from top to bottom. And get him out the door.
Cute.
Mate, Nick, but lucky you're not married to Schnooksy, Alex, mate. I literally dress Toby. I put some nice tights on. I put a nice little T-shirt on and I get hammered every time because they don't colour coordinate. She hasn't got a hair thing in. I'm like, bro, we're going to the shops. Who cares?
Yeah. I'm the same. I wish I had something that zipped from my ankle up to my neck. I'd be rolling around in that as well.
See, can I say, I mean, I don't want to judge. But
well, stop saying that and then following up with judgment. Just judge me. It's fine.
I think that falls into a lazy dad category. Like, dads do that. I'm not, I can't speak because I don't have a dad around. Yeah. I've got my dad. My dad's not lazy. He's amazing.
Yeah.
But as a single mum, I'm across that. But I see dads around me and I see my friends' dads and you can see... The shortcuts that dads take 100%. In all areas. Food.
If you want to see the best time for lazy dads, get to a florist on Mother's Day morning. You are seeing some poorly dressed kids.
When I go pick the kids up from school on like a Thursday and a Friday when Toby's not at school and she'd have to put her shoes on because shoes are a nightmare. You've got to find socks. I just pick her up. She goes, I need my shoes, Daddy. No, you don't. When I get out of the car, I'm not putting them on.
I've done that.
There's no need. There's no need to put shoes on.
I've done a carry to a car, piggyback around the shops, carry back to the car instead of just putting shoes on.
101.9 The Fox.
A mystery has been solved, and this is a 700-year mystery. And thank goodness that researchers, the international team behind the research, have alerted us. They have finally discovered where the Black Death originated.
Ooh.
Bubonic plague. That was...
Probably the wrong plague to be working on at the minute.
Well, it's funny. It's exactly
There's another
what I
one
thought,
going
Nick.
On. Saw that.
Why they even had a team. So we're talking about the Black Death, which in the 1500s, mid-century, mid...
Van Gogh era?
Medieval time. Pre. We're talking like 14... Oh, actually, I've probably got some
1300s,
details in front of
1400s,
me. Yeah, let's say this. 1248 to 1345...
So made up stuff.
Mid 14th century, it was this wiped countries, millions. Fev, probably one of the biggest plagues I would say in human history.
Were these when dinosaurs were around?
No.
Remember when Fev saw the photo in the bar at the City on Spring Street, and it was of the Australian cricket team in the 40s, and they were sitting down, and he thought, "I didn't know that chairs were invented then."
I didn't.
It's still, I don't know why, it still tickles me that way.
Bubonic
plague time, chairs, and they're getting crooked.
Wait for it. The plague originated in Kazakhstan. There we go. Mystery solved.
Wow.
Now, it leads to the question, as you pointed out, Nick, why, when we're in the grips of a new pandemic, that we're still trying to figure out where this came from, lots of theories that we won't go into.
The true Sandra Sally with the late news.
Does it really matter?
No, Fev, I wish you were the dean at the university where the students said, can we use all the funding to go and find out where the plague came from? I wish you'd said, who cares?
Yeah.
But I think this poor bloke had to go through cemeteries or something. He was finding dates in cemeteries, which is a stiff.
Now, that'd be fascinating.
All right, here we go. Yeah.
Imagine going to a night, what is it, 15 BC, CA, whatever that's called.
1500 AD.
15, yeah. Going to graves and digging them up to find out, they could be buried with jewelry, like they could have been robbers.
See,
like
you're so unpredictable
pirates.
Because the minute Nick said that, imagine going through all these graves, that's what that guy did with his spare time. I was going to say that guy needs to discover COD. Like, that guy needs
a PlayStation. And Fev's trying to get off God. Alex is going to go, no more PlayStation, down to the cemetery, do some research.
1019, The Fox.
Is it amazing?
Yes, it's amazing.
We're giving away $100 Onzo Estate vouchers.
Yeah, their premium quality wines are available online and at Dan Murphy's now.
Jess in Yarra Glen. Hi, Jess.
Hello.
Happy Friday.
Yes, you guys too. A few years ago, we were out. My mate came into work the next day after a weekend and he goes, I've lost my wallet on the weekend. And about 6 months later, my dad and I went for a drive up the same track. It was out in the Victorian High Country. It had been snowing when he was up there. My dad parked, he hopped out of the car and he picked up the wallet at his feet.
Wow.
Hang on. Had your mate been hiking? Is that where they lost their wallet or someone?
Yeah, so they were up. It was up a full drive track and it was like, 6 months after the snow had all melted and everything. He'd been up there when there was quite a lot of snow. 6 months later, Dad and I went up for a drive up there and Dad found the wallet out of all people and all places to find it.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
Amazing.
Now.
That is, general consensus.
Yeah.
Yes, it's amazing.
Easy.
Awesome. And also, Jess, you really delivered that with conviction. I liked it. You weren't messing around there. Yeah. You were like, how good was this? Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
Did it have any cash in it?
No, it didn't have any cash in it.
Sure it didn't.
Yes, well done. $100 Onzo Estate voucher for you. Coral from Ringwood North. Sorry, Coral. Hi.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Great. Good. Coral, what's your amazing story?
My dad is 68 and he races vintage sidecars and he's raced sidecars his whole adult life and he thought it would be fun for me one day to come with him and be his passenger. Have a few laps around Broadford Racetrack. So I went off with him and he had these racing leathers. You've got to wear the full leather jumpsuit. And they were just huge. I couldn't wear them. They were too big. So he said to me, head up to the office. They've got some lost leathers there. So I went up there and rummaged through probably about a dozen pair of leathers. And I found a pair that fit like a glove, headed back to the pits in my new leathers. And my dad looks at me and his mouth just dropped open. I said, Dad, what is it? And he said, Coral, they are my very first pair of leathers that I bought in 1976.
Wow.
So, hold on. Your dad's old clothes were there where he races cars?
Yeah, at a random racetrack.
Oh, random. Yeah. That's random. Okay. That's random.
That's an important piece of information, Coral.
I'm like, no, she said that. It was a random racetrack. I'm like, what? This is amazing.
So, hang on. It random.
35 years later.
What were your dad's clothes doing there?
Just done the rounds. Them. Yeah.
So they're racing leathers. They're expensive. Yeah. He'd sold them in the 70s.
Oh,
he'd grown
so
out
someone
them.
Had bought the. Oh, okay, now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah. Yeah. Mate, sorry. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes.
This has bumped it right up.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's amazing.
Coral, I was worried there. Oh. For a sec, I'm like, Dad's old clothes from when he was smaller fit me. Yeah. And I was small. I go, hold on.
I was all over that. I was like, that's amazing.
I thought
amazing.
It was just going to her dad's dressing room where you'd expect to find his clothes.
Mate, all you were thinking was, you're the race car driver and me and Nick are the sidecars.
No, I wasn't. Thank you, Coral. $100 Onzo Estate voucher. Minta in Frankston. Hi, Minta.
Hi, how are you going?
Great, Minta. I love that. Is that short for Araminta?
No, it's an Aboriginal name. It's short for a very, very long name.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love it.
What
did you think it was short for?
I had Araminta down as a name. Well, you know, Minty May Gray. I was going to call...
Araminta is a beautiful name.
Araminta.
That is a beautiful name. Araminta.
I love
it. Araminta.
I'm changing it now.
And then you need... Yeah, good one. Minta, we love your name. Now, what is your amazing story?
So about 20 years ago, my cousin and I were coming back from the city on the Knight Rider bus.
Yes.
And we're about 17. And there was there was a car full of boys next to the bus, and we're all like, you know, waving and flirting and whatnot. And then they put their number on a piece of paper. So I rang them. I said, oh, where are you guys going? They're like, oh, we're going back to Somerville. Where are you guys going? We said, oh, back to Frankston. And then he goes, I said, oh, my stepbrother owns Big Daddy's Pizza in Somerville.
My brother worked there.
Oh. No, he said, he didn't hear me, and he said, my stepbrother owns Big Daddy's Pizza. And I said, no, my stepbrother owns Big Daddy's Pizza. I said, are we talking about the same bloke? And he's like, my stepbrother's Paul. And I'm like, that's my stepbrother. I said, how the hell does that work? And he goes, my mum is married to his dad. And I said, my dad is married to his mum.
Oh, wow.
Did you hook up?
Oh, jeez.
No, God, no. God, no.
Hang on, Nita, how did you not know who your stepbrother was?
He was not my stepbrother. He was my stepbrother's stepbrother.
Stepbrother's stepbrother.
So they're not related?
No.
Hang on. It is,
back to Feb's initial question.
But Minta, I'm with you on this. Think about that. You meet someone, you go, my stepbrother owns that pizza shop. What? My stepbrother owns that pizza shop.
That is
shop. Crazy. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. 100%.
Bit of a quinky dink.
Well done.
Yep. Yes, it's amazing. Good pizza?
What?
Nah.
Just to add another bit to that story. My brother worked at that Big Daddy's Pizza, and he met Megan, who also worked there, and now they've got four kids together. Same pizza shop.
Big Daddy's Pizza.
That's pretty cool.
Bit of extra topping there.
Yeah, I just put a little bit of, I just put a lot on there with the anchovies and a little bit of chili flakes on top, bit of sriracha.
You know what I don't like? When all the stories are good.
Yeah. Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Now, this time last week, we were recovering from our Boxy's Big Night, which was our 12-hour session, let's call it, party.
Heaps of fun. Bender.
And then last night, I kicked off again with a grade 3 kids disco.
Oh. Revolver?
No, it wasn't.
I thought you were going to say a wine or something. I was that excited.
Oh, really? No. Trixie had her school disco. And it was fun. We had so much fun getting her ready, crimped her hair, put in the pink hairspray, put on a little outfit. She was really keen to put on a disco dress. And the whole time, now Daisy, who's 2, mind you, she's nearly 3, but she's riding. She loves dressing up, loves everything, hair, costumes, makeup. And I don't know where she's getting it from, but she is in the background the whole time going, I want disco dress. I want this. I want that. And then Trixie finished off her outfit with a little bag, like a little bag that she put across her.
What was she packing in the bag?
Well, this was the thing.
Little bum bag.
Yeah, at the disco, they were selling things. So you could get like for glow sticks for $2. You could get little
some fads.
Light up rings for $2. Everything.
Could you get snacks there, like disco biscuits?
No,
or?
You could get your face.
Cookies or treats.
Some Versace, some Nikes.
You could get
Toyotas.
Face painted. So she needed some cash for a handbag. And I said, oh, well, now that we're a cashless society, I really struggle because I don't really have a lot of cash on me.
Tap and go.
But I have a place in the house where I do keep a stack of cash. But I went to that spot and there was nothing there. And I went, oh, gosh. You know when you lose track of time, you're like, oh, maybe I've used that. Oh, I don't know what's happened here. Hmm. So I'm saying, Trix, I'm going to try and get you money. Went across the road. Conveniently, my mum lives across the road. So I've gone over there. Mum, have you got anything on you? Yep, $5. We cobbled together $10. So there, Trix has got $10. That'll be sweet. That'll take care of some little neon glow sticks. And
no way.
Anyway, so I've got the girls because Daisy's in tow. I get Trixie up there to the disco and we're walking out and there's Daisy with her little bum bag too, thinking she's going to the disco, but she's not.
Oh.
And then Trixie's going, but Mummy, what if I want more than face painting because that's cost more than $10? And I said, sweetie, don't worry. You know, you got your $10 and you'll be sweet. And then the next minute,
inflation.
Daisy flips open her little bag. $200 for
she's stolen it.
She took it. One, how did she know where it was? 2, how does she know the value of that? How did she know to get stacks of cash and put it in that bag?
Welcome to this world, Boxy. I've got teenagers, and you never leave your wallet around. They know all your stashes. You can't leave money around the house because they just take it.
I know, but then what was was a bit embarrassing, but I didn't know how to control the situation.
Take it
so
off
I,
her.
Well, I took it off her. It was like $4.50s, and I've grabbed it off her. Pineapple. And then she's in the car park just yelling, "My money, my money." No, not your money. In fact, no. Anyway, gee, is it a worry? Like she knows
Mate,
money that soon?
That's
yeah,
good.
Yes.
Good to teach them numbers. Don't you teach them numbers? I show chat 5, 10, 20, 50.
Yeah, but I don't
50.
Show her money. I don't show her a $50 note.
Yeah, don't worry. Now she knows the 50 box here. They're not going to the coins.
I know. And there's poor Trix walking in with her $10.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Speaking of the news, a great story in the news yesterday. Did you hear about the man who stopped a thief in his own backyard? Someone was attempting to steal his car. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you the story, but why don't we introduce the man himself, Brendan, who's calling us from Logan in Queensland. Brendan Mills, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, guys. G'day, Melbourne. How are you?
Oh,
Millsy.
Brendan. Do you know what? We're loving your story. Now, for people who haven't heard what happened, you're very good at telling this, Brendan. I've heard you. Can you describe the situation as it unfolded?
Go for it. All right. So, coming home from the Swedish furniture joint Sunday afternoon. Yep. Driving the driveway and... lo and behold, I look at the wife and go, "What's the car doing there?" She's like, "Oh, I parked it over there, rah, rah, rah." And then next thing, the passenger door thing swings shut and the car starts rolling. So I'm like, "Well, someone's in the car." So first thing you do is get out the car and approach the vehicle, go, get out the car, you're busted, get out. Give them a bit of a chance to get out to say it's over. But no, they sort of wanted to resist and play a different game. So what could I do? I mean, everyone has their opinions on what they would have done, but I only had a very split, quick decision-making task to do, a bit of risk management. What's the safest way to get everyone out of this? Is there five guys in there with guns? I don't know. So here we are. What's the quickest, easiest way I feel safest with is... go get the forky and put the car in here.
You've got in your forklift, and it's amazing vision for people who haven't seen it. You got there's the thief in your car, and it's a standoff. They refuse to get out, and they are insisting on driving off and stealing your car. So
you got it. Yep.
Got the forklift, and you've just popped them up on it.
Wow.
They're not going anywhere, are they, when they're up there?
Jeez, what happened next? What the thief, did they...
Okay.
Yeah.
I put the car in the air. I was expecting yelling, screaming, banging, carrying on, hoo-haing. Again, naturally, in a state of panic, just forklift, full throttle, blah, put the car up probably a bit too high. When the potential perpetrator moved, the car was rocking on the forklift a little, so brought it back down to a bit of a safer height. So
that's kind again, of you.
Oh, yeah, no one wanted to get hurt here.
And it is your car. You don't want to wreck it.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, brought it down a bit of a safer height, expecting someone to bail out or, five guys to bail out. Don't know, but they had plenty of opportunity and they didn't really take it. So that was one of the uncanny parts of the story. I mean, if you had 20 minutes, I could go through the whole thing.
Well,
but
what did she, because I believe it was a woman. Can we just point out, too, the audacity of this woman? She'd already broken into your home, had a shower and changed her clothes.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's really made herself comfortable.
Yeah, mi casa, su casa, yeah.
Brennan, what did she say to you, though? I'd just love to hear. Did she go, "Oops, wrong car"? Like, what did she say?
The only words I heard was, I nearly had it, because... Again, I had no idea she had the keys, didn't have the keys, the car was running, not running. I had no idea of any of this in that split moment decision. So put the car in the air. When I had the car in the air, it gave me plenty of time to ring 000, quickly tell the operator on 000 what's going on. She was a bit dumbfounded, never heard of it in her career. so I guess at the time she's put the call out to the police and they got it. They got it pretty good, probably about 10 minutes thereabouts, So... I'd love had a bit of a 10-minute ride up in the air for there, I guess, and
now,
got to think about things and all that, yeah.
Brendo, I know you said you did rock up with your wife. Now, it wasn't a crazy ex that had broken in trying to steal your car, was it?
What's that, sorry?
Wasn't a crazy ex of yours that tried to do it, was it?
No, mate. None of that. Never seen it before.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, Brendan, I mean, we all fantasise about what we'd do if we caught a thief
now I know.
In the middle of stealing our stuff. Get a forklift. Well done.
Well, what do you do without getting yourself in a lot of trouble is the main question that everyone needs to have a long, hard think about.
Yes. You're a hero, Brendan.
There's a lot of things I could have done.
Yeah.
You did the coolest one.
Good on you, Brendan.
101.9 The Fox.
Team bonding. It's a great idea. And a lot of businesses, a lot of corporations, sports teams, radio teams encourage it. We had a good team bonding session last Thursday, a week ago.
True session.
Nothing like this, though. Here's an example from Switzerland. So a company put 25 of their employees through one of those. I've heard of these. They're like, you know how like I think here in Melbourne we do sort of tree tops and they're trust exercises and abseiling and you've got to trust your colleague to save your life and
just
those
do your
things.
Job.
Like even that one, I was just thinking about that one. You know that one where you've got to fall back and the people have got to catch you?
Yeah, we've done that before at a footy thing.
Don't take
you just let them fall.
Well, dear, don't take this the wrong way. I would not trust any of you.
Oh, no way.
I'm so serious.
I would 100% let you fall.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, so, no,
just catch. For a gag. Just for a gag. And then I'd be serious. But what? Just for the
she's
first
hit her
time.
Head. Get me someone call an ambulance.
No, but like, no, if you were standing in the studio there and there was like a mat underneath there and we had to like put our arms out and you had to close your eyes, arms across your chest, and then on the count of three, let's catch Fee, all trust. I'd go 1, 2, 3, pull the arms out.
Yeah, see, can I rephrase what I said before? I wouldn't trust Fev.
I actually
think Nikki would catch me.
Of course, you have to try.
Thank you.
Yeah, but then I'd do it properly after that.
Yeah, but I'm injured by that stage. I don't want to be caught in the second round.
I would never let you get hurt.
I also love the idea of them doing trust exercises at a footy club. No, what are you doing? You're just asking for people to get hurt.
So how's this? At this Switzerland, I don't know, some corporate place where they do trust exercises, they had 25 employees and they all had to walk across the hot coals.
Why?
That's that other one. I don't know, people. Renee, our producer, said she's done this.
Of course.
But this is trust, so that means you don't have to worry about anyone else. It's just your mental.
Mental.
Yeah, so
can
I'll be able to do this. Yeah,
oh, you can do anything.
100%.
But Renee, you've done it. How'd you go?
Yeah, my mum used to be super into this stuff. I was about 6 years old and I nailed it.
Did it hurt?
Yeah, I think it's just like young, naive courage got me through it.
Is that? Renee, is that why you're vegan? Because you've smelt burning flesh before? You go, that's bad.
No, that's because I went to the Tony Robbins seminar. Also another thing I did as a kid.
I knew Tony Robbins is one of these.
How's this, though? Back to the Swiss retreat where this happened. 10 ambulances had to be called.
Wow.
They've all burnt their feet off.
Yeah,
but
of course.
See, Boxy, let's get back to the team bonding situation.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Now, if we were to let you to fall, you'd all catch us. So you'd say, yes, I'd do that. But if for team bonding, all of our team had to run across hot coals, you wouldn't do it.
No, I wouldn't.
No.
That's the same as me not catching you. It's
why
the same
is that
thing.
The same? That's
because you're not trusting it. All of us are going to do it together as a team. We're all going to get across and we all have to do it. And you go, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
so that means you're not part of the team.
No. Hang on. The difference is.
It's the same thing.
No,
it's the same thing.
It's my fear of my feet burning.
I'm the athlete. I'm pretty sure I know what it is. And we're all going to be in it together. Are we all going to run across the coals? No one's going to drop off. That means we're not going to be bonding in a studio. Hey, drop you on the floor. Same thing. It's exactly the same thing.
You know how we all get along in the studio now, Fev?
I'm not going to listen to a comedian, man. Tell me about this stuff.
Why?
Because you just said it's not true.
No, I'm saying we're bonding.
But you're saying it's not true.
I think we should stop talking about bonding.
No. But you're saying it's not. It's exactly the same thing as letting her drop. Not doing the hot coals. It's exactly the same thing.
It's so not.
I don't think so, though.
It's so not.
What do you mean?
Because, Fev, you're a person. You're controlling if Fee hits the ground or not. The coals... Mate, that's just fiery rocks.
But it's all about trust.
Yeah, but
I trust that you'd go to the nth degree for me to succeed.
So I'm the one that's going to get dropped. Can I tell you what I think? I have a genuine fear of burning my feet. That is my fear I need to conquer. You just want to see me hit the mat. That's
No. But that fun and games, when it comes down to the crunch of it, if I go to you guys, I want to go to war with you guys. Let's go run across these coals and you pull out. Then you don't think you got your back when you're in a studio and you're struggling. But that's what it's all about.
Okay, but I'm scared of the fire. Doesn't yes. help me.
But then we'll get you. We'll get you to
carry
overcome
me
that.
The call.
Are no, you ready we'll get, for battle fee at this corporate retreat?
We will get you to overcome that, and then you'll never be scared of
okay.
it again.
All I've taken out of this conversation.
This team's broken.
We shouldn't do any damage.
We are
on
broken.
We've got to sort this with paintball.
I'm done. I'm going for a swim.
1019, the Fox.
Yes, it is our newsreader's birthday, James Lake, and he's got a request. I got a request to do a cameo from his beautiful wife, Jamie, on behalf of Jamie Spence and beautiful little Harriet, to say happy birthday, James Lake. I know you're a massive Carlton supporter. You used to have my number on your back. You used to go there and cheer at the MCG in the old Princess Park. They wanted me to say some funny stuff, so they did say to say that your time spent at work is our favourite time because you're not home. But when you come home, we do love you, Dad, and happy birthday. Lots of love, Jamie Spence and Harriet.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Happy Thank birthday, you. James.
That'll Thank be you so much.
200 bucks, bro.
Yeah, full whack.
Yeah,
I've
who
got
plays
50.
The cameo? Now, speaking of, it is James' birthday. It's the end of the week. We like to reflect on the week that was, and we turn to James to hear the best of Fifi, Fev and Nick for this week.
Good morning, I'm James Lake and this is the Fifi, Fev and Nick Bulletin. Radio host Brendan Favola was spotted last week in a Gold Coast tattoo shop getting a tat of his co-host Fifi Box. He addressed these rumours live on air this week.
While we're in the Gold Coast, I thought I'd mix it up a little bit. Tats, I'll get my hair dyed blonde. I did get the FF and N, so I've got you guys tattooed on my hip.
I love it.
I did get another tattoo.
I got Boxy on the side of my
what
rib.
Have you done?
What?
I just want to tell everyone, it was actually a fake one.
Oh, it's gone! Do you know what's funny, though? You've done a fake one that you didn't need to do because you actually got a real one.
Yeah, I know. I got a real one just to make sure that we'll never, ever forget.
Yeah, that night.
That night.
We
because
won't.
It was pretty it was good, all. And I have a tat to prove it.
We've been doing all this lately. Vegetable prices have skyrocketed due to unforeseen weather conditions, leaving some shoppers to figure out creative ways to save the extra money.
Broccoli at the moment.
Out of yesterday.
$10 a kilo.
Oh.
That's a lot, isn't it? People are chopping off the stalks. So
to
actually,
weigh it.
Cut, yeah,
is
so
it
if,
it
you,
off?
Yeah, if you just take the head, you don't pay full price. No. What a hack. Just
or
to
you
make
just
it
put
lighter.
Them through with onions.
Well, see, that's illegal.
That's stealing.
So,
it's illegal to put the prices up.
Mm. Petrol's a lot, which is why I take my number plate off and then just drive away.
Aussie horse Nature Strip has won the King's Stand Stakes over in the UK, but not without its share of controversy.
It was the King's Stand Stakes, and one of our Australian horses was over there, arguably the best racehorse in the world, Sprinter.
Wow.
Called Nature Strip. Surely the race caller knows what Nature Strip is called.
King start, and as they do so, Nature Strike leading to Anthem Express in second place.
You had one job.
Nature Stripe.
Nature Stripe.
It was one vowel off.
Nature Stripe, are you joking?
Thank God he wasn't around a few decades ago. Fart lap. Here he comes.
Pie in Ocean Grove has been named Victoria's Best, but the decision is an unpopular one.
Controversially, the Australia's best pie has been named. It's a vegetarian mushroom and truffle pie.
Well, we had listeners in the Gold Coast who did scallop pies.
Yes, we did too.
The mum and daughter. They gave us vouchers when we go down there.
I've got those vouchers.
Yeah, for a scallop pie.
Yes.
And they remember they said, do you like scallops?
And I said, no.
And you go, no.
I do remember that conversation now.
You're like, oh, I love pies. We've got scallop pies. Don't like scallops.
A TikTok trend has gone viral following the invention of the so-called healthy Coke, balsamic vinegar and soda water, and it's been making waves all over the globe.
I'm a Coke no sugar drinker. I love a Coke no sugar. And apparently there is a healthy version of this. This is sparkling water with a dash of balsamic vinegar.
It's nice.
It's not Coke, no sugar.
Yeah, but it's better than Coke.
You're both wrong. That's terrible.
What do you mean?
That tastes so bad.
I quite like it.
You know what I've never had when I'm dipping bread in balsamic vinegar? I'm like, you know what this balsamic needs? Bubbles. No. Awful.
And last lastly, after a public feud with the aviation community following comments that piloting a plane is easier than it looks, radio show Fifi, Fev and Nick undertook flight simulation testing this week to put their money where their mouth is.
We were set a challenge by our producers.
I want to see if you guys can fly and land a commercial jet.
So we took ourselves off to a flight simulator and this is how it went down.
Ah! It's a fire! Chris, it's a disaster!
Making me feel sick!
We're going for a tree! Oh no! Help! Help!
Have you enjoyed your flight from Melbourne to Melbourne today?
That's it from the newsroom. For more Fifi, Fev and Nick, grab the podcast from the Listener app. And as Fev always says,
you have to fix your heart, bro.
Hilariously Melbourne. Australia's first digital art gallery, The Loom Melbourne, is an epic adventure into art. See the world's finest art transform into an awe-inspiring 360-degree experience. Buy tickets now. www.theloom.com. Located at the Melbourne Exhibition and Convention Centre. 101.9. This is